Abandoned classrooms, papers and broken glass strewn across the floors, overturned desks. Thousands of students once roamed the hallways of Morris Brown College in Atlanta, but now the campus stands mostly empty after a financial scandal in 2002. Atlanta photographer Andrew Filer was granted access to capture images of what was once one of the South's most prominent historically black colleges. His collection of 60 photographs are now published in his book, Without Regard to Sex, Race, or Color, The Past, Present, and Future of One Historically Black College. Andrew will speak at the Decatur Book Festival this Saturday afternoon about his images and what it tells readers. Andrew joins me now. Good morning.
Nice to be with you.
And also with us is Stanley Pritchett, the current president of Morris Brown College. Stanley, it's good to have you as well.
Good morning, Celeste.
So I would imagine, let me start with you, Stanley, because looking at some of the photos that Andrew has taken, some people might be surprised that he includes future in the subtitle of the book. What is the future at this point of Morris Brown?
Well, that is the reason why I am at Morris Brown College, because there is a future at Morris Brown. And because of the challenges that the college had in the past, I felt it was the right thing to do. I had been in education on another level for over 35 years, and this opportunity to provide leadership for an institution was challenged by some of the financial issues that led to the loss of its accreditation. And I thought it was just the right thing to do. It was not a good situation to walk into, but through the efforts of a lot of hard work from so many people, it gives you the type of passion to really be serious about the fact that this college can come back and be a viable institution again, and that's what we're working toward doing now.
Andrew, why did you want to take photos of what's mostly an empty campus?
Well, as a photographer, my voice is a Southern voice, and I look at compelling Southern stories. And when I heard Morris Brown had filed for bankruptcy, I thought, yeah, this is an enormously important story. It has race. It has religion, because Morris Brown had been founded under the auspices of the AME Church. It has class. It has economic opportunity. It has lots of layers. And I wasn't sure where the story would go, but it was a story I wanted to explore.
What does that mean? How does it change your photos for you to be a Southern voice?
I think that, you know, television has had this leveling influence in our society. A lot of things have become a lot more average. Gap, McDonald's, Macy's. And I think the South still has a unique culture. We have different food. We have different religion. We have different politics. We have different music. We have different we have different history. We have different values. And I like to relish in those differences. I'm a native Southerner. I grew up, I'm a fifth generation Georgian. I left after high school and went bouncing around the world for 15 years before I decided to come back to the South. But I've been back in Atlanta now for more than 20 years. And part of what brought me back was the uniqueness of Southern culture and the opportunity to sort of wallow in its uniqueness.
Stanley, you have walked this campus enough times. But I wonder if there were any photos that Andrew took that stood out to you, that perhaps showed you a particular scene, a familiar scene that you hadn't seen that way.
Well, actually, you know, before I was introduced to Andrew by one of our board members, the late William Sonny Walker, I actually had an opportunity to walk all 30-plus acres of the campus and to see some of the challenges and even some of the despair because of the fact that it had been since 2002, and this was like 2008, it was as if the building closed down and it was just left the way it was when it had 2,500 students. So with my 100 students, we did not have to occupy many of the buildings that had not been used for several years. But the interesting thing about it is, and this is one of the reasons why I wanted to support Andrew in his efforts to portray the college exactly the way it was, not trying to hide anything, but to just be transparent about the fact that this college, this great college that was founded by African Americans in 1881, now here in 2008, 2009, but then, of course, when I met Andrew, in 2012, here's an institution that has been through so many changes, but it was challenged now. And as a result, when you walked around some of the buildings, the interesting thing about it, where you could see a lot of broken glass and some other despair of not being utilized for over years, but then to walk into some classrooms where the chairs were lined up in a row, as if nobody had utilized it or nobody had touched the room for over 7 years. And you can, it helped me at least to see that here's the future of Morris Brown College. We can make a difference in this community and changing the lives of young people who may not have an opportunity to go at some other institution, but to know that there's a Morris Brown here for them. And this is what we're doing now as we work toward regaining accreditation.
So, Andrew, Stanley mentioned that the Morris Brown College was founded by African Americans, which makes it somewhat unique among historically black colleges and universities. Many of them were founded by white people and not blacks. What did you think? I mean, what tale did you come away about race? You say that this is a story about race. What do you mean by that?
It was in the decades primarily after the Civil War that about 120 colleges are established to educate African Americans. It's over time they become known as historically black colleges and universities. Morris Brown was indeed one of the rare ones founded by African Americans. As you said, most have been founded by white northern philanthropists. Over time, Morris Brown becomes known as a college that provided college access to the children of families of lesser means. So in an America challenged by segregation and discrimination, Morris Brown was serving the families that were the most challenged. And over time, its finances became increasingly precarious, and it was in 2002 that the unraveling really accelerated. But I've had various people throughout this project say to me, HBCUs, their time has passed, they should go away. And all the work that research that I did, there's one statistic that just jumped out at me, which is just glaring. And that is that of the remaining roughly 100 HBCUs that remain today, they are 3% of colleges in America. They are more than 10% of African Americans who go to college, and more than 25% of African Americans who earn degrees. And that replants this story in the midst of this core societal debate we're having today. How do you create opportunity in America? And how do we create an on-ramp to the middle class? And as long as folks are voting with their feet and choosing to attend these colleges, they remain an essential on-ramp to the American middle class. And that they are, as such, an enormously important component, not only of the African-American community, but of the American community.
My guests are photographer Andrew Feiler. His book is called Without Regard to Sex, Race, or Color, The Past, Present, and Future of One Historically Black College, and also Stanley Pritchard, president of Morris Brown College in Atlanta. Here's the thing, Stanley. The main thing that got Morris Brown into trouble was that not enough people were voting with their feet, right? It ended up that Morris Brown, in some cases, was padding the rolls in order to increase the amount of federal funds the college was getting. Is that correct?
Well, it was an interesting kind of phenomenon, you know, and I had to come in where many of the accusations and charges that had been led, even from the federal government, you only could just look at the testimony and the written documents that were there. But one thing that I could address was I could see that there was an outstanding educational program. That academic program was top-notch. They had 26 majors. They had over 400 employees, faculty, and staff that served these students and served them valiantly over the years. So there was nothing wrong with the academic program. You did have some issues with finances that primarily was because of a lack of leadership. And of course, there are several components of leadership, whether it's from the president's area, governor's area. But the fact remains that's the same kind of problem that many historic black colleges and universities are having now, the financial stability issue. But when you have a sound academic program, you got to find a way to work around some of those challenges with resources. And that's what we're doing now as we work toward regaining accreditation, is identifying the resources, but also having an outstanding academic program. Even when we have less than 100 students, we're still graduating students that are going on to graduate school, graduating students that are getting promotions on jobs, and graduating students who are actually creating jobs as entrepreneurs. So we feel good about what we're doing and the direction we're going.
So, Andrew, let me go back to some of the very striking photos that you took of Morris Brown College. As you were sifting through, I have to imagine, thousands of images that you captured, how did you choose these? Because you've narrowed it down to what, 60?
Yes.
How did you do that?
I think art is ultimately about inviting people into a story through emotional connection. And when I was on campus every 2 or 3 weeks for a year shooting this work. As you suggested, there's a lot of photographs. But when I went looking, when I was in these hallways and I was walking these buildings, I was looking for those emotional touch points that invite people into the story. So that, as Dr. Pritchett referred to earlier, when you walk into a classroom and the chairs are piled in a jumble, and you walk into the next classroom, and the chairs are lined up as if somebody had walked out at 11 o'clock that night and turned the light out, there is a contrast there that is really striking. When you walk into a room and they're full of band instruments, and you understand the history that marching bands have within the HBCU community, there is you recognize the ghosts that are present in these rooms. There are no people in any of these rooms, but we feel their presence because these spaces are so familiar. Whether we went to high school or college or grad school, we have all walked these hallways. We have been in teachers' classrooms. We have teachers' offices. We have been in classrooms. We have been in locker rooms. We have been in sports facilities. And there is a familiarity to the iconography of an educational institution that invites people into this narrative, but they are used to seeing these spaces populated with people, and when you see them populated by ghosts, it can't help but touch an emotional chord, and I think that's what brings people into this story, and that's why this work has been resonating at such a deep level.
That is Andrew Filer. He's photographer and author of the new book, Without Regard to Sex, Race, or Color, The Past, Present, and Future of One Historically Black College. Stanley Pritchard is the president of that college, Morris Brown College in Atlanta. Stanley and Andrew, thank you both so much.
Great to be with you.
Thank you, Celeste.